Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in on a Friday morning. Happy that you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. And what a night. Do you feel joy?
I feel all of the joy.
All of the feels. It was pretty amazing to see all those people so happy about Kamala Harris's speech last night.
How many times do you think she said thank you before she started speaking?
Well, she was thanking people for forgetting how horrible her performance was in 2020 when she ran for president. And she was thanking people for ignoring democracy and making her the candidate without a single primary vote. So she had a lot to be thankful for. Can we agree on that?
That's true. You know, when I think about it that way, you're right. And she also can thank people for still supporting her despite not really sharing any information about her policies and saying that she would change things if she were elected into office despite already being in office.
Right. The key now in the next 70 days or however many days are left, 68, 69 days, is to keep hammering that point home, Kim St. Ange. That's all I can say. You've got to remind people that she gave no policy specifics last night. It was all very broad. I'm for the middle class. I'm going to raise people up. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you what it means in a nutshell. It means she will target people she perceives to have money, and she will seek ways to take that money out of your pocket and give it to people who will vote for her. Period. End of discussion. Whether it's paying off loans they shouldn't have taken to begin with, whether it's giving them $25,000 to buy a house they can't afford to begin with, whatever you can do to pander to a voter to think that you're going to give them some government service or somebody else's tax money, that's what her campaign is all about. And she has no idea how to fix the economy, no idea how to defeat inflation, no idea how to deal with the border because she's been in charge of it and done nothing, no idea what's going on in the Middle East, none, clueless. Trying to play both sides of that. I listened to that bite last night, too, where she's trying to play both sides of the Israel debate. She doesn't want all those people in the streets to be pissed off at her anymore if she promises a two-state solution. But she's a strong supporter of Israel. This is the same woman who has threatened to withhold military funding and materials from Israel as they prosecute this war against terrorists who did horrendous things to Jewish citizens on October 7th. So I didn't hear anything new from her last night. She's got a good speechwriter who just talks in big platitudes about how great the world would be if she was president without telling you what she would do if she was president.
Well, I think what probably won over a lot of people who have been on the fence, her backstory, you know, I don't know. I think she was trying to humanize herself, I think, because even though she's been in office as vice president for what, 3.5 years now, I feel like people don't really know who Kamala Harris is.
People, wait a minute now, stop.
They can't even pronounce her name.
People had plenty of time to get to know Kamala Harris in 2020, and they rejected her. They heard all of the little girl in pigtails BS she gave Joe Biden on a debate stage. They know everything they need to know about Kamala Harris. She climbed the political ranks through friendships and connections, and she got elected to a couple of higher offices based on DEI statistics as much as anything else. And now she got thrust into the vice presidential spot because Joe Biden made a promise to James Clyburn that he would do that to get elected. That's how she got where she got, because the Democrats rejected her soundly, soundly. She only drew 1% more in the Democratic primary vote in 2020 than Andrew Yang. I mean, that's how low she was. Elizabeth Warren was polling at 24-25% when she ran for president, compared to 2% for Kamala Harris. What's the difference today?
She's not Joe. That's the difference.
That's the difference, in a nutshell. So that it's incumbent upon J.D. Vance and Donald Trump and the Republican Party to draw that distinction in people's minds. Ignore the pretty pictures. Doesn't matter. Attractive candidate. Doesn't matter. We're at a key juncture in the history of this country. And if we go left, we're heading down the path of Argentina. She's already told you, or Venezuela, she's already told you where she's going to go with it. Price controls, giving away cash. I mean, it's just, it's insane when you think about turning over the wheels of power to Kamala Harris. It ends with nothing but heartbreak for Americans. There's no doubt about that. So hopefully we get that point across. We'll talk more about it this morning. We're trying to get Madison Allworth on the phone with us in the next hour. She's been up there and anxious to hear if she heard any actual policies expressed last night, because I didn't. So I'm waiting to hear somebody else's take on all that. We did not get much of anything, from what I can tell, out of the D.C. Adam Kinzinger got a thrill down his leg. Did you know that? Did you remember Adam Kinzinger? He used to be a Republican, used to be in Congress over in the state of Illinois, got defeated and kicked out a while back. But he was, of course, one of the turncoats on the J6 Select Committee that Nancy Pelosi picked. And he really, if you think you know somebody with Trump derangement syndrome, just sit back and watch Adam Kinzinger. He really hates Donald Trump. And we'll get to more on that for you coming up here shortly. We've got lots to get to. We've got a big announcement coming up today in the next hour. And stay tuned for that. Just a little tease for you there. We're going to announce that at about probably around 6:20. So we'll let you know what's going on here. And we got tickets to give away today, Carl. Where are we doing that? I do not see that on the rundown this morning.
It would have been on the second sheet that we didn't make.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So near the end of the show today.
Sometime in the last hour of the show, we will be giving away some tickets to the Doobie Brothers and Steve Winwood. I promise you that. I'm just looking down here thinking, hey, don't we have tickets to give away today? I know we did.
All right, 8 o'clock, people.
Let's get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
That's why we will create what I call an opportunity economy, where everyone has the chance to compete and a chance to succeed.
Oh, sounds like equity. I smell equity in that statement. How about you? That means giving somebody else's slice of the pie to one of her voters.
When I left office, I gave Kamala Harris the strongest and most secure border in American history. These people have done an incredible job. They worked with lots of others.
No, Mr. President, it's Kamala. That's what Bill Clinton said, so you can get away with calling her anything you want now.
RFK Jr. endorsing Trump, possibly, I say possibly, tomorrow. Your quick thoughts in 30 seconds?
It's a benefit for Trump, I'll tell you.
Wow, could happen today. We'll be watching what's going on in the state of Arizona.
But the emotion and the feeling down here is, I don't know, 7-year-old birthday party is how I would put it. There is joy and there's not a lot of thinking. It's a good time.
The mainstream media could not contain their joy. They picked up the Democrat talking point sheet that this convention was about joy. And they worked it into every news story they could for the week. Every headline, if you look at the headlines this morning, there is joy in Chicago.
Is that really what people care about when it comes to electing a president?
With liberals, it's all about how you feel. It doesn't. Reality plays no role in it. It's how you feel. And they needed this convention to be about making people feel better that a demented individual is no longer their leading presidential candidate.
I know how to find joy without a specific person in the office. Even if Kamala is somehow elected president, I'll still have joy.
Watching, I mean, you expect it out of the people, the Joy Reids and all those people, the Rachel Maddows on MSDNC. You expect them to be rolling around stoned out of their mind, happy about what happened at the DNC. What you should never get, ever get, is that impression from a main news anchor. Peter Jennings would never have done it. I can tell you that. Even Tom Brokaw would never have done it when he was the main anchor. But you now have people like Norah O'Donnell, and you can see the smirk on her face when she's happily reporting on Kamala Harris and the possibility of history happening here at the DNC. I mean, it oozed out of her joy of being there. And you could tell just the opposite when she was at the Republican convention. She hated being in that building. You could tell. You could just tell. So one of her former co-anchors on the morning show is a guy named Tony DeCoppel. He'll be on there this morning, I'm sure, on the CBS Morning News when it comes on later at 7 o'clock. And he was down on the floor last night after Kamala gave her big speech. And he also could not stop the oozing of excitement coming out of his veins. That was just a glimmer of it. Listen.
We've got cheers. We've got a certain underwater quality as people dodge the balloons, a certain concert quality as people wait and enjoy the music. And I will leave the reviewing of the content to you. But the emotion and the feeling down here is, I don't know, 7-year-old birthday party is how I would put it. There is joy and there's not a lot of thinking. It's a good time.
Maybe he let the truth out there right at the end. It's like a 7-year-old at a birthday party. There's a lot of joy and not a lot of thought that's gone into it
kind
at that point.
Encapsulates the entire Democratic Party.
They're just happy. They're just happy.
I'm trying to think if I were the reporter covering that, how I would have described it. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes.
I don't know. He was clearly very happy to be where he was.
He sounded joyful.
Carl, let me guess. Do we have the fray coming up here in just a minute?
Oh, good, Mark.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Glad you suggested that.
Let's hit it.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to turn it off there, Carl.
Wake up, everyone.
Hey, good morning to you. That's what we hope would have happened last night during that speech. She would have started cackling and then it just went to static.
Did we hear like a cackle that last night? I've gotten through most of the speech. I was trying to watch it this morning.
I mean, there were a few chuckles, I think, but not a full-blown cackle. She was warned against that. Shout out to the St. Louis Cardinals for bringing home a winner yesterday. Carl and I had a great morning. Can I just tell you that?
Yes, we did.
Our friend Smitty invited us down to Cardinal Way there. We went to Ballpark Village first.
Cardinal Nation.
Discovered a fantastic deal there upstairs at Ballpark Village.
Yes.
Where you can go up for like one price and kind of like pregame a little bit before the games on those day games. It's perfect. They got a comedian up there who's hilarious.
You mean it's like once you pay a flat rate, then you get all the drinks you want?
There's
food?
A buffet. Well,
it's
and food.
A buffet.
It's like
$38
bucks or something.
That's a pretty good deal if it's all you can eat, all you can drink.
Yeah, for a couple hours. And there was a Cardinal fan in there from New Jersey. His name was Dave. And he was 89 years old. Was he 89? 88?
Yes. 89. It was his birthday.
And it was his birthday, and his son had flown him here from New Jersey just to see the Cardinals. He's a Cardinals fan who lives in New Jersey. It's only the second Cardinals game he's ever been to in his life. He went years ago when he was in business, still working. He got to go to which would have been at the old Busch Stadium.
I don't know if it was Sportsman's Park or if it was at Busch.
He just said a long time ago. And His son brought him in for that day game yesterday.
That is so cool. What a game to see. I mean, I know the Cardinals are still not looking at all like they're going to be in the playoffs, but the fact that we won the series against the Brewers and they shut them out yesterday, I mean, that's a big deal.
Oh, the first inning looked rough.
Who cares? Well, it ended just the way we wanted it to.
So here's how the rest of the day went for us. We went next door to One Cardinal Way to the pool that's accessible to the residents there because our friend Smitty has an apartment there and met some great people and hung out in the pool, the infinity pool, which kind of just disappears off the edge. And then you see the stadium in the background. And we were able to watch the game out on the field, but then they also had they got a big screen that overlooks the pool, and you can sit there and watch it sort of close up. If anything exciting happens, you could turn around and see what's going on in the field.
So for what, like $3,000 a month, you can live there and also have that experience?
It's not that much.
It's a little less than that.
It's less than that.
$2,800.
I think it depends on which apartment you're in. I mean, I think the ones that are actually over there on the corner where you overlook the ballpark are the most expensive ones, obviously. And then there's some others maybe around the side, up one side or the other, that aren't as expensive as that.
If you're looking north.
You're probably south of $2,000 a month somewhere. I mean,
maybe there's some of the best witnesses for the crime in the city. They've got a bird's eye view.
I have seen that video of cars driving circles around the streets down there, but that didn't happen yesterday. It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful day.
That's a nice apartment complex. It really is.
Yeah.
And then I went to the Muni last night, so anything goes.
How
Cole
was it,
Porter,
Carl?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
I mean, the weather couldn't have been better.
Yeah, no kidding. Almost sweater weather by the time it got dark, huh?
Yeah, I wore pants.
That's good. You saved the women of the Muni having a look at your legs, Carl.
Mark saw them yesterday.
They a little pasty?
Also fantastic.
All right, coming up, we're going to see if we get a hold of Madison Allworth. She was at the DNC in Chicago last night. I got to check a business coming up for you. We may get a glimpse into an interest rate cut today. We'll find out about that from Nicole Murray about 6:35. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Yeah, we know crime is just not getting any better. And if Kamala Harris is elected, we know it's probably going to get worse. Well, there's something, I say new, but there's an approach people are taking that they think could help deter specifically burglars. Now, I've read in articles that this isn't necessarily new, but it's really getting talked about now.
It's called a Doberman Pinscher.
Well, that would probably be it. That would be one way to deter these burglars. They're starting to blur their homes on Google Maps, and they believe that that's going to deter potential burglars. They feel like these criminals are taking the time and they're researching homes. They're looking them up on Google Maps, trying to look at, I guess, where the front entrance is or if there's a back entrance or whatever the case may be. Like, they're casing them and then they move in. I don't know if the criminals, are they that smart? They would take the time to do that. Do the criminals even know how to use Google Maps?
Well,
Serious question.
Sure. I imagine many of them do. I mean, maybe not if they're old school burglars, but I would think the
millennial burglars, the Gen Z burglars
would
they
certainly
know.
Understand that, right? Yeah, yeah. I give them credit for that.
I don't know.
The smartest people in the world, but you don't have to be the smartest person in the world to use Google Maps.
So fine, you know how to use Google Maps. Do you think they're actually taking the time to scout out their targeted home on Google Maps before going there and breaking in? I don't think they're taking enough time to do that.
Probably not, unless they have a specific neighborhood targeted. Maybe they've decided that, you know, Carl's particular neighborhood would be a good one to go to because, you know.
No, Mark, we have our own private security now.
Because they have security.
I don't think that's a bad idea, though, because you guys did it, The Hill, but then there was another neighborhood somewhere in the city that also did it. I think the one that's near the zoo.
Dogtown.
Thank you. I think Dogtown.
St. Louis Hills and Dogtown both
did that too. I wouldn't be opposed to that, especially if police are so busy that they don't have time to be patrolling the area. And that's not their job to sit there and roam the streets of The Hill all the time. They've got other fish to fry. So I think that's a great idea. I'm not saying that blurring your home on Google Maps is a bad idea. I just don't know how much it would actually deter criminals. Now, what you should do is stop putting out, like, the new TV that you just mounted on your wall. Stop just putting the box out in front of your house. Don't put the box out from your new PlayStation or any new fancy gadget that you just got in plain sight, because that does matter. I mean, you're basically advertising, oh, hey, check out what you could steal from my house.
Or, and this would be a controversial idea, live in a neighborhood where you can put the box out and not worry about it.
Now, yes, but I would say, generally speaking, yes. And maybe if it's like a gated community, but I feel like some of these burglars are going to these fancier homes. I remember at KMOV covering some stories in these really nice neighborhoods.
Well, you get
not only home burglaries, but breaking into cars, because chances are the nicer neighborhoods are going to maybe have some more valuable things.
And also more guns. What do we learn? What important lesson?
No, just because they're rich doesn't mean they're going to be smart and actually be armed.
What important lesson were we reminded of yesterday? Why do people rob banks? Because that's where the money is, mm-hmm. right? And burglars are going to be drawn to areas where they're likely to get more expensive stuff. I don't know. When I get that 80-inch TV that I'm wanting, I'm putting the box out just to brag to my neighbors. What do you think?
Yeah, you should definitely do that. You should. I'm going to call up all the criminals I know. Hey, Mark Cox got a new TV.
Yeah. It's not me, man. It's Reardon. I heard Reardon bragging the other day about wanting this 100-inch TV or something when he was doing a spot for these people that install them, I guess. I don't know. It's been a while.
How many criminals do you know, Kim?
Lots. Scabby Joe, we talk all the time.
Corn Pop.
Corn Pop's a bad dude, Carl. There was a station out of Southern California that covered this story, because I guess that's what crime is so bad in California under Gavin Newsom. It's so bad, Mark Cox, under Gavin Newsom's leadership, that this is where it's like everybody there, I guess, is blurring their home on Google Maps. Listen to this.
We need to be up on how to better do ours.
It's an officer.
And that is a very good way for people to protect their homes.
So how can you blur your home or business on Google Maps? Well, it's actually a pretty easy process to get started. First, find your home or place of business on Google Maps, go to the lower right corner of the screen, and click on Report a Problem. You can then choose what you want blurred, answer a couple of questions, and then request Google to make the change.
So what a great idea to harden your target, meaning to make your residence a little more anonymous.
Does that mean that I could request to have both of your homes blurred?
Maybe.
I'm just going to blur. My whole neighborhood. They're generic questions. I don't think you have to really prove. I mean, you're just answering like a basic, you know, questionnaire on Google.
I think you'd have to be just a little bit on the edge of paranoid to want to do that. But if that's how you choose to protect your privacy, or you believe that protects your privacy, go right ahead. I know of a situation right now where some people just had a baby. It's not Tricia Siegman. And they have made the decision as a couple, I've been told, to show no pictures of their child on social media. They refuse to post any pictures. They won't let the grandparents do it, and they're not doing it themselves. Which in this day and age seems kind of odd, because everybody puts pictures of their newborn on social media, right?
Yeah, I know someone who does that. I mean, I post pictures of Easton. You guys have probably seen them if you follow me on like Facebook, for example. I understand, though, why they're doing that. Some parents, the things that they post, like a lot of these back-to-school pictures, you know, the kids are always holding the really cute signs. They're adorable, but I don't think parents realize that it's like, who's your teacher? Which school are you going to? What grade are you in?
You can give up a lot of things.
There's way too much. And some of these like naked pictures of kids, like, do you know how many creeps are out there and you guys are showing? I don't know. Like, you just
naked? Who's putting naked pictures?
Bathtub pictures.
Yeah, bathtub picture. Like,
well, if we've ever posted anything like that, the kid was covered up with a washcloth or something.
But that's my point. I'm saying there's pictures where it's not, and it's like, oh, they're cute running around naked. I'm like, what are you doing? There's weirdos out there who go out looking for that type of stuff. I'm not saying it happens often, but I've definitely seen them. So I think it's a good reminder that we do have to be careful. I mean, I agree. There's like, it goes past the point of like, okay, well, this is normal. This is just you're really paranoid. But yeah. I do think, especially as it relates to social media, it's just scary now in the dark web. And
just a good reminder, social media is with new parents, that all newborn babies look like Winston Churchill.
No, Easton was adorable. Some babies do kind of look a little bit alien-ish.
I mean, they've gone through a hell of a lot of trauma at that moment in their life. I'm talking about newborns. It wears off quickly, but yeah.
Well, they have, sometimes they're born, you know, with that cone-shaped head.
Well, I mean.
And it's so funny because if you don't do the research before and realize that that's very, very normal and that, like, within 24 hours, it's going to be a normal-shaped head, people flip out because some of them are really cone-shaped. Have you ever seen pictures of those?
Maybe you should blur those images out on social media.
Have you seen pictures, Carl?
Didn't we see Dan Aykroyd? I saw a picture of Dan Aykroyd.
It's not just a C-section.
No, I'm saying C-sections don't have that.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying because the way they're birthed. Why don't we talk about that, Carl? Can you go in depth about
vaginal
the way
births?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
We have gotten off track
all
here.
Of that for us, Carl.
She thought, when she wrote down what she was going to talk about today, I think it was the crowning of vaginal births.
That is exactly what I wrote down that I wanted to talk about
when
today.
When she
Thank
wanted
you,
to
Carl.
Blur your homes, she thought that she would be able to get there.
I was thinking of all the possible topics we could go to.
Route.
And crowning was not one of them. But somehow, you know, Kim on a Whim really reminds you that it's a Friday.
You wouldn't.
Because the topic goes from blurring your home to deter burglars to crowning.
You would need Google Maps to follow that path that you took to get there. You know how to use that, Google Maps?
No.
I'm just asking.
Could you walk me through it?
You just have to answer some questions.
Yeah.
My oh my.
Carl,
Thank
are we
you.
Going
Thank
day drinking
you.
Again today?
Carl,
yes,
are you,
okay,
did you guys
nice.
Drink this morning before work?
No, of course not. No. Carl might have had some at the Muni. I don't know. Do they serve beer at the Muni?
They do.
Ah, nice.
They had, actually, at the Culver last night, they had their end-of-the-year drink, which is called Everything in a Bucket.
Everything that's left over, they just pour it in there?
Yeah.
Ugh. Recipe for a headache.
No, it was good.
Wait, before we go to commercial break, Jody's saying you need to do like what they did on Home Alone. You have the whole system. How cool would that be if you could set up like cutouts and they're on a track and they move around and you have, you know, they're moving with the music. I love that movie.
I've always been fascinated by those burglary stories where there was a business owner who kept having repeated break-ins at his store. So he put a pad right inside of the window.
With nails.
And no, electrified it.
Oh.
And when the guy jumped through the window the next time, he hit it. And I believe he either got severely injured or died. And they charged the store owner.
What?
For the guy's death. He got, yeah. But I mean, I'm like, this is crazy. This criminal shouldn't have been there in the first place. So you hear stories like that throughout the years of things happening like that, or setting up something like that where somebody would come in and get injured, but who shouldn't have been there to begin with. And then they sue the guy that set it up because they got injured while breaking into
that's
their property.
That's insane.
I think that's
brilliant
society
to put
we live in.
That thing. I would love to put like a mat with nails sticking up.
I know.
And if you try to
Thank
go into
you.
The front, break into the front door or the window, have fun.
Oops.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. We've got it all figured out. And now we're back to the crime story again.
We really covered a lot of topics for Kim on a Whim today. Thank you guys for your input. Carl, especially you.
Do the exact same one?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, we did. And we'll, you know, President Trump made some comments last night after Kamala's speech. And that was
his crowning moment? Or
he called in. Oh, nice. How can I top that? Yeah, he called in to Fox after. After her speech, we're going to carry some of that. I'll give you some of that when we come back in just a couple minutes.
Fellow Americans, this election is not only the most important of our lives, it is one of the most important in the life of our nation.
Boy, I couldn't agree more, actually, with Kamala Harris on that one. What do you think? She's right. It will change the direction of our nation toward Venezuela or saving what we've got. That's how serious things are.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Yeah, we know crime is just not getting any better. And if Kamala Harris is elected, we know it's probably going to get worse. Well, there's something, I say new, but there's an approach people are taking that they think could help deter specifically burglars. Now, I've read in articles that this isn't necessarily new, but it's really getting talked about now.
It's called a Doberman pincher.
Well, that would probably be it. That would be one way to deter these burglars. They're starting to blur their homes on Google Maps, and they believe that that's going to deter potential burglars. They feel like these criminals are taking the time and they're researching homes. They're looking them up on Google Maps, trying to look at, I guess, where the front entrance is, or if there's a back entrance, or whatever the case may be. Like, they're casing them, and then they move in. I don't know if the criminals, are they that smart? They would take the time to do that. Do the criminals even know how to use Google Maps?
Well,
Serious question.
Sure, I imagine many of them do. If they're, I mean, maybe not if they're old school burglars, but I would think
the millennial burglars, the Gen Z burglars
would
they
certainly
know.
Understand that, right? Yeah, yeah. I give them credit for that.
I don't know.
The smartest people in the world, but you don't have to be the smartest to use Google Maps.
So fine, you know how to use Google Maps. Do you think they're actually taking the time to scout out their targeted home on Google Maps before going there and breaking in? I don't think they're taking enough time to do that.
Probably not, unless they have a specific neighborhood targeted. Maybe they've decided that, you know, Carl's particular neighborhood would be a good one to go to because... You know,
no, Mark, we have our own private security now.
Because they have security.
I don't think that's a bad idea, though, because you guys did it, The Hill, but then there was another neighborhood somewhere in the city that also did it. I think the one that's near the zoo.
Dogtown,
thank you. I think Dogtown.
St. Louis Hills and Dogtown both.
Did that, too. I wouldn't be opposed to that, especially if police are so busy that they don't have time to be patrolling the area. And that's not their job to sit there and roam the streets of The Hill all the time. They've got other fish to fry. So I think that's a great idea. I'm not saying that blurring your home on Google Maps is a bad idea. I just don't know how much it would actually deter criminals. Now, what you should do is stop putting out, like, the new TV that you just mounted on your wall. Stop just putting the box out in front of your house. Don't put the box out from your new PlayStation or any new fancy gadget that you just got in plain sight, because that does matter. I mean, you're basically advertising, check out what you could steal from my house.
Or, and this will be a controversial idea, live in a neighborhood where you can put the box out and not worry about it.
Now, yes, but I would say, generally speaking, yes. And maybe if it's like a gated community, but I feel like some of these burglars are going to these fancier homes. I remember at KMOV covering some stories in these really nice neighborhoods.
Well,
not only home burglaries, but breaking into cars, because chances are the nicer neighborhoods are going to maybe have some more valuable things.
And also more guns. What did we learn? What important lesson?
No, just because they're rich doesn't mean they're going to be smart and actually be armed.
What important lesson were we reminded of yesterday? Why do people rob banks? Because that's where the money is, right? Then burglars are going to be drawn to areas where they're likely to get more expensive stuff. I don't know. When I get that 80-inch TV that I'm wanting, I'm putting the box out just to brag to my neighbors. What do you think?
Yeah, you should definitely do that. You should. I'm going to call up all the criminals I know. Hey, Mark Cox got a new TV.
Yeah. It's not me, man. It's Reardon. I heard Reardon bragging the other day about wanting this 100-inch TV or something when he was doing a spot for these people that install them, I guess. I don't know. It's been a while.
How many criminals do you know, Kim?
Lots. Scabby Joe, we talk all the time.
Corn Pop.
Corn Pop's a bad dude, Carl. There was a station out of Southern California that covered this story, because I guess that's what crime is so bad in California under Gavin Newsom. It's so bad, Mark Cox, under Gavin Newsom's leadership, that this is where it's like everybody there, I guess, is blurring their home on Google Maps. Listen to this.
We need to be up on how to better do ours.
It's an officer.
And that is a very good way for people to protect their homes.
So how can you blur your home or business on Google Maps? Well, it's actually a pretty easy process to get started. First, find your home or place of business on Google Maps, go to the lower right corner of the screen, and click on Report a Problem. You can then choose what you want blurred, answer a couple of questions, and then request Google to make the change.
So what a great idea to harden your target, meaning to make your residence a little more anonymous.
Does that mean that I could request to have both of your homes blurred?
Maybe.
I'm just going to blur. I'm going to blur my whole neighborhood. They're generic questions. I don't think you have to really prove. I mean, you're just answering like a basic, you know, questionnaire on Google.
I think you'd have to be just a little bit on the edge of paranoid to want to do that. But if that's how you choose to protect your privacy, or you believe that protects your privacy, go right ahead. I know of a situation right now where some people just had a baby. It's not Trisha Siegman. And they have made the decision as a couple, I've been told, to show no pictures of their child on social media. They refuse to post any pictures. They won't let the grandparents do it, and they're not doing it themselves. Which in this day and age seems kind of odd, because everybody puts pictures of their newborn on social media, right?
Yeah, I know someone who does that. I mean, I post pictures of Easton. You guys have probably seen them if you follow me on like Facebook, for example. I understand, though, why they're doing that. Some parents, the things that they post, like a lot of these back-to-school pictures, you know, the kids are always holding the really cute signs. They're adorable, but I don't think parents realize that it's like, who's your teacher? What school are you going to? What grade are you in?
You can give up a lot of things there.
Way too much. And some of these, like, naked pictures of kids, like, do you know how many creeps are out there and you guys are showing... I don't know. Like, you just...
Naked? Who's putting naked pictures?
Bathtub pictures.
Yeah, bathtub picture. Like,
well, if we've ever posted anything like that, the kid was covered up with a washcloth or something.
But that's my point. I'm saying there's pictures where it's not. And it's like, oh, they're cute running around naked. I'm like, what are you doing? There's weirdos out there who go out looking for that type of stuff. I'm not saying it happens often, but I've definitely seen them. So I think it's a good reminder that we do have to be careful. I mean, I agree. There's like, it goes past the point of like, okay, well, this is normal. This is just you're really paranoid. But yeah. I do think, especially as it relates to social media, it's just scary now in the dark web. And
just a good reminder, social media is with new parents, that all newborn babies look like Winston Churchill.
No, Easton was adorable. Some babies do kind of look a little bit alien-ish.
I mean, they've gone through a hell of a lot of trauma at that moment in their life. I'm talking about newborns. It wears off quickly, but yeah.
Well, they have, sometimes they're born, you know, with that cone-shaped head.
Well, I mean.
And it's so funny, because if you don't do the research before and realize that that's very, very normal, and that like within 24 hours, it's going to be a normal-shaped head, people flip out, because some of them are really cone-shaped. Have you ever seen pictures of those?
Maybe you should blur those images out on social media.
Have you seen pictures, Carl?
I saw a picture of Dan Aykroyd.
Not just a C-section.
No, I'm saying C-sections don't have that.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying because the way they're birthed. Why don't we talk about that, Carl? Can you go in-depth about
vaginal
the way...
births?
Yeah.
Oh,
why don't
we
you
have gotten off track
all
here.
Of that for us, Carl.
She thought, when she wrote down what she was going to talk about today, I think it was the crowning of vaginal births.
That is exactly what I wrote down that I wanted to talk about
when
today.
When she
Thank
wanted
you,
to
Carl.
Blur your homes, she thought that she would be able to get there.
I was thinking of all the possible topics we could go to.
Route.
And crowning was not one of them. But somehow, you know, Kim on a Whim really reminds you that it's a Friday.
You wouldn't.
Because the topic goes from blurring your home to deter burglars to crowning.
You would need Google Maps to follow that path that you took to get there. You know how to use that, Google Maps?
No.
I'm just asking.
Could you walk me through it?
You just have to answer some questions.
Yeah.
My oh my.
Carl,
thank
are we
you,
going day drinking again today?
Carl?
Yes.
Are you,
okay,
did you guys nice. Drink this morning before work?
No, of course not. No. Carl might have had some at the Muni. I don't know. Do they serve beer at the Muni?
They do.
Ah, nice.
They had, actually, at the Culver last night, they had their end-of-the-year drink, which is called Everything in a Bucket.
Everything that's left over, they just pour it in there?
Yeah.
Ugh. Recipe for a headache.
No, it was good.
Wait, before we go to commercial break, Jody's saying you need to do like what they did on Home Alone. You have the whole system. How cool would that be if you could set up like cutouts and they're on a track and they move around and you have, you know, they're moving with the music. I love that movie.
I've always been fascinated by those burglary stories where like business owner, like there was a business owner who kept having repeated break-ins at his story, at his store. So he put a pad right inside of the window
with nails
and no electrified it.
Oh,
and when the guy jumped through the window the next time, he hit it, and I believe he either got severely injured or died. And they charged the store owner
what
for the guy's death. He got, yeah, but I mean, I'm like, this is crazy. This criminal shouldn't have been there in the first place. So you hear stories like that throughout the years of things happening like that, or setting up something like that where somebody would come in and get injured, but who shouldn't have been there to begin with. And then they sue the guy that set it up because they got injured while breaking into
that's
their property.
That's insane.
That's the
litigious
society
to put
we
that,
live in.
That thing, I would love to put like a mat with nails sticking up.
I know.
If you try to break into the front door or the window, have fun.
Oops.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm with you. We've got it all figured out. And now we're back to the crime story again.
We've really covered a lot of topics for Kim on a Whim today. Thank you guys for your input. Carl, especially you.
Do the exact same one?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, we did. And we'll, you know, President Trump made some comments last night after Kamala's speech. And that was
his crowning moment? Or
he called in. Oh, nice. How can I top that? Yeah, he called in to Fox after. After her speech, we're going to carry some of that. I'll give you some of that when we come back in just a couple minutes.
Fellow Americans, this election is not only the most important of our lives, it is one of the most important in the life of our nation.
Boy, I couldn't agree more, actually, with Kamala Harris on that one. What do you think? She's right. It will change the direction of our nation toward Venezuela or saving what we've got. That's how serious things are. But she wasn't finished.
In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious.
Extremely serious. We can't put him back in the White House. Did you hear some of the lies she told last night? And I want to know where the fact checkers were. She claimed that he was going to install Project 2025 mm-hmm. to take us back to the past, which would mean stopping some of the government social programs that the Democrats embrace. He's going to jail journalists. He's already targeted journalists who he's going to throw in jail. He's going to stop you from getting an abortion. He's going to outlaw abortion in the entire United States. So all of these are things that anybody who's listening to Trump already knows are not things he's going to do. He already explained why he chose not to have his DOJ go after Hillary Clinton after the 2016 election, even though people wanted her locked up. He said that was not good for the country. The Democrats clearly don't care what's good for the country. And then she went into explaining about his convictions and his conviction on sexual assault, which mm-hmm. is not at all what happened in New York. And these were regular, everyday citizens on these juries who convicted him.
Yeah, she said her client was the people when she was a prosecuting attorney, and his only client is himself.
Yeah, whatever. He's the only one running for president who cares about this country. I hated to hear that. But here was Trump on Fox last night, right? And Trump has issues with one of the Fox hosts, and her name is Martha McCallum. He does not like Martha McCallum. And last night, Martha McCallum is on there with Brett Baer, and she asked him a question, and he called her out by name in his response to it. I'll let you listen, because, of course, she's feeling the joy, I guess, at the Democrat convention and believes that Kamala Harris has momentum. And how are you going to defeat that is the tone of the question, and Donald Trump did not appreciate that. Listen.
There's been a huge appeal and momentum for women voters. She's trying to pull that, the youth vote, the Hispanic vote, the black vote back in her direction. Polls show that she's having some success in that at this point. So what are you going to do? What's your strategy to rebuild the momentum that you had with those voters?
No, she's not having success. I'm having success. I'm doing great with the Hispanic voters. I'm doing great with black men.
I'm doing great with women because women want safety. They want safety. And they don't have safety when they have somebody allowing 20 million people into our country, many of them very dangerous people. No, it's only in your eyes that they have that, Martha.
Okay. You're probably not going to like this, but I actually think what she asked was a fair question. Now, whether that momentum is continues on until November, I don't know. But I don't think you can deny the fact that for whatever reason, Kamala Harris does have momentum right now. And I know we're just coming off the DNC, but I do think she's having momentum.
I don't think it was wrong
that she asked that question.
I don't have an issue with how she phrased that. But Trump doesn't like Martha McCallum for other reasons, like for other comments she's made either about him or about his policies or what he thinks is positive coverage of Nancy Pelosi or whatever it is over the years. He's just not a fan of Martha McCallum. So when she asked that question, I was waiting for it and it came. That's your opinion, Martha. You're right. It's their week, right? They got all the media coverage, even though if you look at the Nielsen numbers, it's down 20% over what it was in 2016 and 2020, I believe. The comparison might have just been 2016. Their numbers are down. So despite all the joy that you feel on the floor from Tony DeCoppel there, the 7-year-old birthday party, as he described it, I don't know how much that reflects on the country. I do know for the people that watched it and who are all in and or Trump haters, yeah, they probably felt that. They should get a bump out of their convention. Donald Trump got a bump out of his convention. She should get a bump out of this convention. And then the hard campaigning starts today, and pretty soon that should wear off, and this thing's going to even back out. The RFK thing could be a game changer today. Mm-hmm. It could. 1 percentage point in this race could be that difference.
Didn't Trump say he has a special guest who will be appearing with him at his rally?
I don't know. I thought I heard that. I do have his response about RFK. I'll play that for you coming up here just a little bit later. We're hoping to get to Madison Allworth, who was there last night for Fox. That's all coming up in the next hour. Plus a big announcement. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This election is not only the most important of our lives, it is one of the most important in the life of our nation.
Boy, I couldn't agree more, actually, with Kamala Harris on that one. What do you think? She's right. It will change the direction of our nation toward Venezuela or saving what we've got. That's how serious things are. But she wasn't finished.
In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious.
Extremely serious. We can't put him back in the White House. Did you hear some of the lies she told last night? And I want to know where the fact checkers were. She claimed that he was going to install Project 2025 mm-hmm. to take us back to the past, which would mean stopping some of the government social programs that the Democrats embrace. He's going to jail journalists. He's already targeted journalists who he's going to throw in jail. He's going to stop you from getting an abortion. He's going to outlaw abortion in the entire United States. So all of these are things that anybody who's listening to Trump already knows are not things he's going to do. He already explained why he chose not to have his DOJ go after Hillary Clinton after the 2016 election, even though people wanted her locked up. He said that was not good for the country. The Democrats clearly don't care what's good for the country. And then she went into explaining about his convictions and his conviction on sexual assault, which mm-hmm. is not at all what happened in New York. And these were regular, everyday citizens on these juries who convicted him.
Yeah, she said her client was the people when she was a prosecuting attorney, and his only client is himself.
Yeah, whatever. He's the only one running for president who cares about this country. I hated to hear that. But here was Trump on Fox last night, right? And Trump has issues with one of the Fox hosts. And her name is Martha McCallum. He does not like Martha McCallum. And last night, Martha McCallum is on there with Brett Baer, and she asked him a question, and he called her out by name in his response to it. I'll let you listen, because, of course, she's feeling the joy, I guess, at the Democrat convention and believes that Kamala Harris has momentum. And how are you going to defeat that is the tone of the question, and Donald Trump did not appreciate that. Listen.
There's been a huge appeal and momentum for women voters. She's trying to pull that, the youth vote, the Hispanic vote, the black vote back in her direction. Polls show that she's having some success in that at this point. So what are you going to do? What's your strategy to rebuild the momentum that you had with those voters?
No, she's not having success. I'm having success. I'm doing great with the Hispanic voters. I'm doing great with black men. I'm doing great with women, because women want safety. They want safety. And they don't have safety when they have somebody allowing 20 million people into our country, many of them very dangerous people. No, it's only in your eyes that they have that, Martha.
Okay, you're probably not going to like this, but I actually think what she asked was a fair question. Now, whether that momentum is continues on until November, I don't know. But I don't think you can deny the fact that, for whatever reason, Kamala Harris does have momentum right now. And I know we're just coming off the DNC, but I do think she's having momentum.
I don't think it was wrong
that she asked that question.
I don't have an issue with how she phrased that. But Trump doesn't like Martha McCallum for other reasons, like for other comments she's made, either about him or about his policies or what he thinks is positive coverage of Nancy Pelosi, or whatever it is over the years. He's just not a fan of Martha McCallum. So when she asked that question, I was waiting for it, and it came. That's your opinion, Martha. Yeah, you're right. You can't. It's their week, right? They got all the media coverage, even though if you look at the Nielsen numbers, it's down 20% over what it was in 2016, and 2020, I believe. The comparison might have just been 2016. Their numbers are down. So despite all the joy that you feel on the floor from Tony DeCoppel there, the seven-year-old birthday party, as he described it, I don't know how much that reflects on the country. I do know for the people that watched it and who are all in and or Trump haters, yeah, they probably felt that. They should get a bump out of their convention. Donald Trump got a bump out of his convention. She should get a bump out of this convention. And then the hard campaigning starts today, and pretty soon that should wear off, and this thing's going to even back out. The RFK thing could be a game changer today. Mm-hmm. It could. One percentage point in this race could be that difference.
Didn't Trump say he has a special guest who will be appearing with him at his rally?
I don't know. I thought I heard that. I do have his response about RFK. I'll play that for you coming up here just a little bit later. We're hoping to get to Madison Allworth, who was there last night for Fox. That's all coming up in the next hour. Plus a big announcement. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.